Welcome to Ask the Educator, a podcast brought to you by Healthmark Industries. Are you a sterile processing technician or manager? Maybe you work in infection prevention or biomedical engineering. Whether you're a frontline tech, endoscopy tech, OR nurse, or surgical services administrator, you undoubtedly have influence in medical device processing at your facility. In each episode, we speak with experts from the Healthmark Clinical Affairs team, industry leaders, or special guests from the trenches to answer your questions and bring you relevant industry information, equipping you for excellence in medical device processing. My name is Kevin Anderson, and I will be your host. Now let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ask the Educator podcast. This is Kevin Anderson, your host, clinical education specialist here at Healthmark. A nice big change there. So I'm going to add that in there. But today is kind of a cool podcast. We haven't done one like this before. And my guest is Sean Weir. So Sean, thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be a really cool topic, I think. And I'm guessing that you're probably pretty excited to get into it as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you all having me.
Yeah, Sean. So one of the things that we thought was really interesting is we saw some, you know, posts out there on LinkedIn and about a recent medical mission trip that you were able to participate in. And just if you would just kind of give us some of the basic information about it, like, hey, where'd you go? What exactly was kind of the work you were expected to do, that kind of thing. So go ahead and kind of give us that basic background.
Yeah. So the trip was based out of an organization called Operation Walk. There are like seven different states and regions that do this walk or this mission trip. And they go to different third world countries or areas and they perform surgery. The two that I have gone on were based out of Pittsburgh and Florida. So the Pittsburgh group, they do knees and hips in 3.5 days. And then the Florida group, which is their first solo group they went on by themselves, was a big trip for them. They did knees only in 3 days.
Okay. And which is the one that you just did? Was that the Florida one or the Pennsylvania one?
Florida.
Okay. So that would be the knees only?
Yes,
knees only one? Mm-hmm. That's kind of an interesting concept if, you know, if you're going to do something in a third world country like that to kind of, you know, pick a very specific specialty and stick with it. Is that kind of like on purpose or why would they settle on just doing, you know, one specialty over doing, you know, anything and everything?
Actually, it's unique. The hospital that they base their procedures out of is all mission trips. So for every week of the year, that hospital, they do some in-house procedures for the locals, but the majority of the cases are strictly mission trip based. Before we flew in, there was a group doing OBGYN. Our groups mostly do hips and knees, though. Operation Walk, you know, hips and knees.
Excellent. So where did this group go to perform all these knees?
So both Pittsburgh and the Florida group, they go to Antigua, which is in Guatemala.
So that probably required some, you know, some pre-education about third world countries or maybe some vaccinations or things like that. What did all that entail, just kind of prepping for this kind of trip?
Yeah, so most of the prep work was laid out by the organizer, fairly detailed. Like, we start almost a year in advance with planning and procedures.
Okay.
There is vaccination. A passport is a must. It has to be valid for a year after the trip. Okay. It can't be expiring the same year as the trip.
Okay.
You know, raising money, getting money set aside for the trip. It is a big expense. You are going to a third world country. You know, you can always lose your luggage, types of things like that.
Your specific role on this trip was what exactly? Is it all just sterile processing related activities, or was there kind of additional things because there was less people, or how did that work exactly?
So in this role, this would be my third mission trip I've gone on with Operation Walk. And every role has been the same: sterile processing. Cleaning, processing instruments, getting them turned over, wrapping them, sterilizing them. The only thing we don't do is we don't clean the instruments. The hospital workers there will actually wash the instruments.
Okay, so what kind of, so you're kind of starting from the assembly side of things? Is that kind of the right understanding?
Yeah, so this trip, we clearly just do the assembly, wrapping, and sterilization.
So that's interesting. So when you go to this place in Guatemala, do they have like, you know, an SPD department layout similar to what you see here, or is it different in any way? What is like the department look like that you work in while you're there?
Yeah, so actually the hospital just got done, not the hospital, I guess the church hospital, it's a combination of both.
Okay.
Just got done remodeling. They added on more operating rooms, and they also updated the SPD department. So they have three sinks. Each sink has three bays.
Wow.
They have no wash disinfectors, so they wash everything by hand.
Okay.
And then they have a big assembly room, and then they have an autoclave room, which had seven autoclaves in it. And then they have a cooling down room, which, you know, basically out in the core of the operating room. So okay. It's just a big complete circle.
Okay, so they're able to manage that like unidirectional flow of everything. And
yeah.
Okay. So were you kind of impressed with like the ability to kind of stick to a pretty good high level standard while you were there? Or were you kind of like, whoa, like nothing is the same as where, you know, I work in the United States?
So it's funny because people will say when you go to a third world or mission trip, be ready. You know, at HSPA, there was a couple of topics on that. And yes, third world countries can be very scary. But in all honesty, the environment they had in their FPD, they washed it thoroughly. Yeah, it wasn't hot water. Because again, you're in a third world country, they can't get that hot water.
Yeah.
You don't have wash disinfectors, you wear gloves all the time. But yeah, I mean, the level of care that the workers provide to us is top notch. If it's dirty, say it to them and they wash it again, no questions asked. They don't care.
Yeah. And what was your kind of experience working with the native people in the hospital there? You say that they were the ones who kind of did the cleaning. How was that sort of teamwork dynamic? Was it like, was there a language barrier? Did you guys kind of easily understand each other? Did you work well together? That kind of thing.
You know, I love that conversation because they don't speak any English besides okay. No good.
No good.
That's all they have. No good. You know, and that's fine because you can say no good when something was dirty.
Okay.
But this is my third trip, like I said, and I've learned some Spanish over the years because okay. I wanted to learn their language. It helps us communicate.
Sure.
Now, you have the technology, Google Translate, but, you know, hold up the phone, they can read it and all that good stuff. But it's still not professional. Some of the workers do speak English, yeah. But I asked the question and they do want to learn it in English. And they said they have no desire to learn English because they already know and speak nine other languages.
Oh my goodness.
Which was crazy to me. The trip I had recently, it was amazing because the workers and I communicated, we bonded more than we had in the past. And I was able to relate to them and become close to them as friends and family.
That's pretty impressive, especially considering the language barrier. And, you know, I wonder, you know, it's a hard job already here in the United States, but I'm guessing in the third world country situation, they're probably not getting paid very well there either, right? And the living conditions probably are less than what we hold in regard. But, you know, do you see the same sort of bickering and sort of the, you know, the hierarchy where people look down on them or anything like that? I'm curious to know what the sort of, you know, culture is within that hospital, being that you have two communities kind of meshing together. You know what I mean?
So it's a simple answer on that, honestly. Their average income a day is 2Q. So that equals about $14 to American per day. So, you know, they live with the means that they have to, and that's it. And I love visiting that kind of area because, one, it's just an overall better feel for what you're going into and what you're living every day for a week or 10 days while you're down there. But they have cell phones.
Yeah.
But they don't live lavishly like we do up here in the States, which is a nice to see and understand, hey, you can live that way. But again, yeah. $14 a day. That's you know, it's not a lot, especially for us.
But yeah, I mean, that's right.
The cohesion between the two teams. It all depends on the people. I like to network. I like to have fun. And sure. If you know me by now, that's what I bring to the table when I go to any place to work at. And
yeah.
they just love having me there. It's all fun. I know they make fun of me in Spanish. I'm okay with that. Because just as much as they're making fun of me, I'm making fun of them back in English.
Yeah. Well, and you know, clearly there's a rapport being established there, and you guys can, you know, work together and have fun all at the same time and work, you know, towards a common goal, which is getting all those knee replacements done. So speaking of, like, how many surgeries are you guys able to accomplish while you're there, or per day, or however you want to look at it?
So the most for the Florida trip we did, I want to say 38, no, 48, one of the two numbers. I would say 38, new knees in 3 days. So the most we did
in
3 days.
That's pretty darn good. Oh yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. So the most we did in one day was 16, and we only have 8 setups. So there is no room for error. So you have 4, 4. And then by the time the second case is done, the first setup is coming out of the autoclave. So they're taking hot instruments. Again, learning curve. The Pittsburgh group just came back, I think 2 weeks ago, and they did close to 80 new joints in 3.5 days.
Oh my goodness gracious.
So, and that's hips and knees bilateral. And they also started doing dental work down there too for the Pittsburgh group. So they bring a dentist or a dentist down. They do procedures down there too. So they're doing that on top of the hips and knees.
Yeah. Which I'm sure dental, even though they're smaller trays of instruments, the volume is probably super high. You know, they're probably constantly going through instruments all day long. You know, if they're doing that many total knees in a day, I can only imagine how many, you know, dental procedures they do in a day. Oh my goodness.
So the fact that I found out this year is there are 5,000 patients in Guatemala that need new knees. And there's a 5-year wait list to get your knee replaced by a mission trip.
Oh.
So it is crazy what those wonderful people down in Guatemala are suffering through every day. Needing new knees and hips.
Wow. And it's kind of cool to say that you are able to help make a dent in that, you know, that wait list, you know, and that, you know, it doesn't stop when you leave either. You know, you have a lot of people who are involved, you know, which actually, you know, because it's just a great time to bring it up, you know, is, you know, getting involved in something like this. So what would you say to anybody out there who may be interested in getting involved in a similar mission trip, or maybe even this specific one that you've obviously worked with several times now? What would you recommend to them? How do they get involved in this?
Reach out to your chief surgeon and say, is there any mission trips that you're a part of or you know of? Because more likely there are many mission trips in your area that go on they might not know about. Or they can always reach out to me, and I could reach out to some organizations that I know do mission trips and see if there's one in that area, or maybe we can help start one back up in your, you know, your state. I would love to see more mission trips happening. It doesn't have to be to Guatemala. It can be Honduras, Cuba, Africa, all those areas that you know, need some mission trip work done.
Yeah, I'm sure the need is plenty, no matter where you want to go or your interest in going or serving. And I like that you bring up talking to the surgeons, because number one, I feel like as sterile processing professionals, we need to bridge that gap a little bit anyway, you know, have some conversations with surgeons, you know, instead of being afraid of them. But find out, like, establish a rapport, because you're right. I can tell you, back from my days of working in the operating room, there were several surgeons that went routinely on mission trips, whether it was, you know, to Haiti or Africa or whatever, like there, you name it, they were, you know, they were going, and they were going usually at least once a year, and you could get information from them. You could donate supplies or whatever. A lot of them would have us kind of save, you know, supplies that were maybe otherwise going to get wasted, that kind of thing. So I think that's a great idea. Just, you know, even if they couldn't do the one that you're a part of, you know, talk to the people in your own facility, you know, and see what they're doing and see how you can get involved with them.
Yep.
Yeah. So do you see, like, with these kind of trips, is there in the way of assistance from, like, you know, vendors or the docs themselves, or who pitches in to make this kind of work happen?
So as far as the trip goes, it's mostly based by donations and running events to hold and raise money for those trips. Okay. Now the people who go, the volunteers, you know, we take PTO time to go down there or go wherever. And we also have to raise money to cover the cost of the flight, airfare, some food, and the hotel stays and all those types of things, transportation.
Okay.
And that's the biggest thing. You know, it's quite a decent amount of money that has to be raised every year, plus the spending money if you want to eat out extra past the free meals, if they have free meals.
Right. It probably depends on whatever trip you're going on. So yeah. What kind of things did you do for fundraising? I know you shared some over LinkedIn, but just for the, you know, the audience listening to this, you know, share some of the things that you did for raising funds. And then, like, how early did you have to start that process, and how long did it take you to kind of hit your goal?
I mean, as soon as I get acknowledgement that I'm on the approved list to travel, I start doing a GoFundMe. I'll hit up obviously my friends and family, and I'll go into social media and put it out there.
Sure.
You know, try and do some events to help kind of apply some things towards my expense. But the biggest thing I've ever had was social media, was LinkedIn. You know, I do the funny thing with my beard. I'm known as one of the SPD workers with the big old beard. Yeah. And, you know, I raise the money. If I make the mark, I shave my beard completely off. And I honestly can't stand a beardless face. But, you know, this is my family, but it's a good time and it's for a good cause. And honestly, the money that I raise above and beyond, I actually give back to the workers of the hospital.
So cool. So cool.
So at the end of the month, or yeah, my month, end of the trip, whatever cash I have left over from the trip that I raised, I will give out to the hospital workers. Because that amount of money, you know, $7 of them, or $7 of ours equals $1 of them. So that's a lot of money we can provide back to the workers. And again, for us, what's $20, $40?
Right.
Them, it can make a difference for that month or that time frame that they need the money for.
Sure. Sure. No, that's, you make a great point. You know, our money goes a lot longer there than it does here. So it makes a substantial difference. And that's great. That's a great way to, you know, kind of use whatever extra funds you might have that you had raised and didn't use. So that's pretty cool. I'm sure that they have a pretty nice reaction to that when you're getting ready to leave.
Yeah, you know, and
they don't say no good, right? No,
yeah,
good.
They don't say no good. I took two out to celebrate with you know, a drink after work one day, and it was an honor to me to be able to provide for them for obviously a drink, but then to give them some cash as, hey, a thank you for the hard work that you did this week. You know, it's just truly amazing to see the reaction, and they don't want it, but you slide it in their pocket or put it in their coat jacket and you disappear and they're going to find the money. But, you know, it's nice.
It's funny that they're, you know, they, even them, you know, in their situation, you know, making much, much less, that they, you know, that they still have a hard time receiving gifts like that. And, you know, it shows the character there, which is pretty awesome. So, one of the things, what are the things that, you know, was kind of like the biggest takeaway for you from this the last trip that you just came back from? I'm sure that you probably learned something new or something hits you differently each and every time, but what about this last one? What was the kind of the big thing that, you know, kind of shook you or stood out to you or what have you?
So again, it's the relationship I created on this trip with the workers. A couple of things stood out. I found out that every hospital worker in that hospital is a nurse.
Okay.
So they're all nurses and they rotate their assignment every 3 weeks. They work in the same assignment and then they rotate amongst the entire hospital.
Got you.
Really cool. Then I started talking to my one friend there. His name is Sam, excellent worker. And we started talking about where he lived at and how he gets to work every day. He has a beautiful house with a beautiful view. He sent me pictures of it. We talk weekly anymore through, you know, WhatsApp, but we talk all the time.
Sure.
And through translating, I found out he takes a 3-hour drive to work and back home every day.
Oh, my goodness.
So he walks 2 hours to his motorcycle from his house because he can't drive his motorcycle up where he lives at.
Wow.
So that's 2 hours walking down to his motorcycle. And then from there, he has a 1-hour drive from his motorcycle to the hospital. And he does that 5-6 days a week.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's 6 hours minimum that he is driving and traveling every single day. You know, that really stood out. Just the amount of, you know, compassion and dedication they have to their job is truly amazing.
It kind of puts things into perspective a little bit, doesn't it? It helps you kind of come back to work with a little bit, probably a little bit more of a positive attitude, right? And a little bit more gratitude,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, some folks out in the world can't stand driving a half hour to go to work. Yeah. And this person's driving 3 hours, you know, a day, one way. That's 6 hours.
Yeah, that's incredible and speaks tremendously to the character of these people. And, you know, it sounds like you made a pretty darn good friend there, which is awesome. Yeah. And I love that is kind of the thing that stands out is the relationships built, because I think that is clearly one of the most important things you could ever do, no matter where you're at, whether it's a mission trip in Guatemala or, you know, in your SPD at, you know, that you work in every single day. So just to kind of finish everything up and tie a bow on this one, what would you have to say to anyone that maybe would be on the fence about doing something like this? How might you encourage them to maybe consider it, or maybe some other final thoughts that you might have about doing medical mission trips like this?
Just do it. No, honestly, you know, we had this discussion with a person I went down there with, and they were up in the air. They were nervous about the area. What's it like? What's the security like? How the people? What's the military like? Like, what's the environment? And I relate, like, it's not a bad environment. It's actually very open. People are very friendly. But do your research of the area. You know, I went there, I researched the restaurants, the foods, what not to eat, what to eat, what to drink, what not to drink. But in all honesty, the folks in any location, no matter what third world country you're going to go to, they're there and they're happy because you're there to help save lives on their fellow, you know, locals. And that's what it's all about, really.
Sure.
As long as you don't go looking for, you know, anything that's bad, nothing bad's going to happen to you. It could anywhere you go. It's just an amazing time. Yeah. And it puts things into perspective of what we do every day and what chance you're giving that person that you're giving another, knee or hip to, another chance at life.
Yeah, clearly that's and I love the way you sum it up. I mean, just do it is, I know we all kind of think of Nike, but, you know, great branding, right? But the thing is, it is true. You know, we have a tendency to overthink things and to the point where we kind of don't move, you know, and don't do it, you know? And so it's actually a really good way to kind of sum it up. And, you know, Sean, I appreciate that you did that. Number one, obviously even 3 times now. But also just that you were willing to come on here and share it. Hopefully that will maybe spark some more interest, you know, put some people at ease, maybe help them to consider doing something similar. So really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your experience.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I hope people get more into it. You know, I plan on doing 2 more next year. You know, I plan on doing 1 with the Pittsburgh and the Florida group to get them set up for the future. And then I'm going to retire my flag. I plan to. But yeah, if you're on the fence, reach out to me on LinkedIn or you know, every other means. And I promise you it's worth your time. And it's such an eye-opening event.
Excellent. And with that, we will let you go, Sean. And, you know, to all the listeners out there, hopefully you're checking out all the episodes. Remember to subscribe, get in contact with Sean, you know, on LinkedIn. He mentioned, please please do that. These are little things that everybody can do to help, you know, grow their network, make new friends, and all of that stuff. So thank you all for listening. And until next time. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the presenters. Before using any medical device, it is important to review the device manufacturer's instructions for use.